Thanks for joining. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Synalytic. We are a startup in the entertainment industry that started 4 years ago. And really, our aim was to bring best practices from finance, science, and the entertainment together to build a platform that helps entertainment professionals, executives make faster, smarter decisions. And we do that by bringing together real-time data with real-time analytics that's ML AI powered, and really drive insights that executives and film professionals and TV professionals can use in their day-to-day business. Maybe you start a little bit about the industry. It's of course a film industry in particular, rapid change, streaming now the biggest revenue driver in the US, box office. Doesn't look like it, but it's kind of flat. And then other, of course, ancillary revenues on the home video front, especially physical, are going down towards zero. And that kind of creates a market that, A, a lot of change, B, two kind of, at this point, of these separate industries. The traditional three-release window, theatrical home video TV market, 91% driven by studios, 9% independent, and then, of course, the now largest revenue driver and faster-growing segment of streaming, which at this point at least is 75% tech companies, so that will change probably soon. And then, so when we looked in the industry when we started, we really identified a couple of things that we wanted to improve. And we first looked at sort of how the industry does business, and we saw a lot of the business and insights are done in Word documents, Excel documents, sent around by email, and that creates a fairly inefficient workflow. And we saw data is it is available, but it's not, you get a really 360 view on content and talent. We realized, it is not really available in the independent space, and in studios, it's very much siloed in different departments. So the data resides there, and often, insights that are driven, especially in green lighting, a lot of times you don't have these data sets that are siloed in departments. And then we looked at sort of the way forecasting is done in the industry, and it's very much ad hoc, Excel-driven, stop and go, meaning you sit in a conference room, decide on a certain green light, and you say, what happens if this actor drops in, or if you change that? Somebody has to go out, rerun the numbers, might take a week, might take 2 days, come back. So everything is very much delayed. And we saw we can improve this with modern technology. And then we looked into kind of the classic value chain of how to make film, just start with packaging, putting actors, director together, thinking about how high the budget is and what the end market is, green lighting, production, marketing, and exhibition, of course. Studios, they of course cover at this point 1 and 4, with Disney Plus soon number 5 as well in one studio. But generally, while these processes take place in one company, we realized a lot of these processes are very siloed. And so what we wanted to produce as Synalytic is one system that basically helps you to align all of these different work, these different parts of the value chain in one system, meaning you can now drive insights in real time for packaging, financing, production, and distribution decisions. And these are just overview of a couple of tools that we offer. I'm going to go into detail in the live demo so you see how this really works. It is a project management system. You can run film projects from development stage to release stage. We have advanced film search and talent search engines to find comms or find identified talent. Everything's machine learning based, so it's very quick, and you find insights in real time. You don't always have to run numbers, and it's multi-user. And so we use artificial intelligence. And so what is artificial intelligence? There's so many different definitions. This was our CTO, and he said, yeah, that's the best I can do. So he kind of, we can include that it's understanding language concepts, visual perceptions, so something that's, it is giving the computer something that's not like a human brain, but at least the capability of seeing patterns and crunching numbers. And this is, when we look into what we use neural networks for the most part. We use different combinations of machine learning that we call, could call it artificial intelligence, you can call it machine learning, but basically it's this, It's basically using artificial neural networks that replicates brain functions in an automatized way, so when you can shove a lot of data into the system automatically recognizes patterns and then creates a forecast in real time and can predict whatever you want it to predict, basically. And that's driven by the use case, of course. And this is what I'm going to show you, because we built a use case for in the entertainment industry. Down underneath it all, the most important part is we want to really refocus and bring people towards spending their time on not on finding data and cleaning it and all that kind of, you know, these tasks that are very low value added, I would say, to something that's really value added. That means the number crunching and data gathering, cleaning, all this taking care about the system, the teams now spend more time assessing value, running different scenarios, iterating, what happens if this happens. So really bringing and unlocking a lot of value in the whole workflow process. Please, if there are any questions, let me know. I'm happy to explain more. And I run through different tools, and then I show you the live system. So we have talent analytics. We run and we track 530,000 actor, directors, writer, producers globally, and the system analyzes them continuously and kind of and gives value scores for them. And these value scores are, of course, data-driven. So it doesn't mean that you should make your decision entirely on these scores, but it should influence at least, you know, it is a creative product, it's art versus data, right? And so bringing these two words together, that was our goal with building a system that informing the creative discussion, that packaging discussion with real data and real scoring, so you can understand the value of your creative package by territory. We can show value of actors and directors by the producers, by media, by genre. So very quickly, you can understand sort of how a certain actor can add value from an economic sense. Project analytics, there's a tool you can run comms very quickly, and I'll show you that in a live project. I'm gonna run through this a little bit more. Real-time predictive forecasting, this is the AI part, where we basically identified these are the key attributes of a film project that drive performance. From a mathematical perspective, budget, genre, ratings, equal, runtime, key talent, you know, country production, of course, release timing, and you kind of, as an executive, you can put this into the system, all these different attributes, press one button, within seconds you get a forecast of how this piece of content should perform at potential base case, with all these, taking all the talent, the genre, the budget, and all of these different elements into account. But then also, because it is a creative product, the system doesn't read the script, doesn't know, you know, there's certain things that are, of course, limitations. So now we provide forecasts that are based on probability levels. And then the creative executive can basically say, hey, I want to run the base case forecasts. I think everything should perform with potential. I read the script. It's amazing. I want to take the more aggressive forecast. The likelihood of that is 30%. Or I want to be on the safe side, and I want to calculate with the 80% certainty. These forecast levels always mean like 90% chance for this to happen or more. So it's always like the worst case at the respective confidence level of probability.
So, and then there's a financial model. We can model all this out. All the data you will see in the system is vetted data.
Nielsen Studio System, Variety Insight, social media, our own data. We're
collecting piracy data. That's very interesting because we're collecting 100 million daily piracy views globally. And this data is actually very predictive in terms of what people are actually interested in watching. So we ran correlations and we saw pirated data correlates super very high to actual digital SVOD VOD data. So once you have and know what people pirate in the country, kind of know what they would want to watch on Netflix, HBO, or download on iTunes. So this is something that we use as well to forecast and help identify audiences. We did run, of course, a fair number of films this year. These are all predictions we
did at green light stage, with green light stage data, and these were the results this year, and the accuracy
for this set of the films was fairly high, because they were kind of, you know, the system is, these are all films that kind of performed as expected in a way, not with outliers. What often we can't predict are certain outliers. When something over indexes or under indexes, but therefore we build these kind of cases. I'm going to jump into the system. I'm going to show you how this really works. So when you log in the system, I can jump right to Joker. So this is of course Joker. I hope most people heard about that film. Very controversial, of course, but yeah, let's leave that aside. Let's try to focus on just as if it were a uncontroversial film. The first step, so I've already jumped a little bit. Normally log in and there's a project management system, but I'm going to jump right into one project just to cut, because for time reasons. And so basically, once you enter a project, the first thing you do is you just enter your project. So when you see this Joker here, this is not, because we have 80,000 films in our database, but that's not that. This is basically me, let's say, or the executive, 2 years ago, just starting this project, saying, film title Joker, we're planning it now. This is a log line, this is a synopsis. It's in this case, it's, let's say, it's in packaging right now. We estimate the budget to be 60 million. For sure, R-rated, read the script, it's pretty dark. So, a couple of keywords. It's based on a comic book, of course. It's DC Comics, Gun Production, United States. And this is how you can enter a project in the system. And once you enter the project, it exists, and then you can basically run analysis in this kind of platform. And so, the core parts of the system are packaging. So here you can assess talent values, what I talked about before. This is basically a tool where you can just, development meetings, when you have these five producers, or these five actors, or five directors that you're discussing, you can now very quickly pull them up and just show some data points and see whether there's anything that this data should inform. So of course, Todd Phillips directing probably was already attached back then, so we only know what's kind of publicly available, maybe a little bit more, but we don't know too much. So I don't know how Todd was attached, if he was attached from the start. But generally, with Todd, for example, you can click in his profile, you can see all his credits, all the films that, of course, he was involved with, box office, and all the films he's currently attached to and he's currently developing, I guess. You can look into his performance over time. So with Todd, you can see he's a very, very, pretty high, always a high level, of course, Hangover, all these kind of films. And you can look at different territories. And if you're interested in, hey, how does the demand profile look in South Korea versus United Kingdom, you can understand and see where films of his were released, how they did, and kind of get a gauge of how he tracks in different territories. We can also show you his top territories as a director. You can see very clearly, very Anglo-Saxon driven. That's where his most value is. That's why he has, of course, large, where his films work very well. If you wonder about these scores, they are purely economic scores. They look at basically all the films that Todd Phillips did, his role in these films, time decay, so a lot of different factors play into account to just try to figure out and provide sort of an indication of the value by territory. Then we can do the same in release windows. As a director, so home videos, his films are very strong internationally, same internationally. And then his top genres as a director, period, of course, drama, action, comedy, of course, this was the Hangover franchise that over-indexes here. And then awards and social media. He doesn't have any social media. Let's go to an actor. Maybe Ryan Reynolds here, social media. So with social media, we can basically track into, and just if you're interested for an actor, if that's something that you care about, or for an actor, you can look into comments around how. So this is basically Ryan's social media following, Twitter and Facebook, and you can see around certain releases how the fan base interacts. So you can learn, maybe Deadpool, Criminal. Interaction, Hunt watches so much live, not at all. His body got quite a bit. So you can see, okay, they kind of relate to these action comedy films. Then you look into his performance. As you can see here, of course, Ryan Reynolds, his top value genres, where he really excels, is comedy, animated action. This just, everybody knows this at this point, but this is just giving you an indication, and this you have this kind of scoring for 530,000 people. And therefore, it helps you to really quickly understand economic value of a talent. going back to the list, you can of course run the same for actors, and you have your computer Phoenix here, and you could look at his into his stats. You know, you can basically see median budgets, median box office that he's involved in, and it is definitely a bold choice because he's a fantastic actor, but he has been in smaller films. You know, and you can see his median box office throughout his career was around 13-11 million. So he has not been the lead in such a what now looks like a really big release in film. Median budget, you know, his median budget is around the $20 million mark. But, you know, these are all, the nice thing is, as you might appreciate, is that you just see that very quickly now. You know, normally this kind of inside, somebody has to spend a lot of time researching. Same for any other actors involved, of course, Robert De Niro. You can see his, you know, his career box office, if you click into him, his career box office, $42 million, it came down quite a lot. Maybe that's also reflected, yeah. Of course, he had a very long career, and you can always see up and down, it's kind of, there's maybe a little bit of a curve here, I don't know what that is, a big man. But yeah, it's all about visualizing these things to kind of give people, and you know, give an idea of what his strengths are, what his weaknesses are in terms of value. Because in the end, it always sounds, when you talk about art, it always sounds, some people always get offended when you talk about these kind of data points, but studios do it anyway, right? Nobody's just flying out an actor because they think they're great. They always look at these kind of data points, and this is kind of what the system just helps and does in a very quick and in a quick way. So this is just a tool to help find and look at actors basically and how they bring value to the project and where which territories and genres they work. Another tool, and that's part of the process as well, is looking for prompts. So Joker was a tough one, you know, because when you think of we didn't read the script, so we just understood, you know, it's a dark drama superhero film. There are not many of these. And so we really worked with the system now to find suitable comps. You know, how do you comp Joker, right? And so the system, and you can see the comps that we came up with. And coming, my background is investment banking, hedge funds, so I'm for 10 years and 5 years in film production. So we really try to use best practices that are actually used in finance as well. When you look at comps, not to use like 3 or 4 comps, but really try to get 20 comps together. And so as you can see for Joker, it's kind of Glass, it's Venom, Deadpool, Suicide Squad, all these darker, you know, Split, Ant-Man. So we got, and some of the director's film, some of the films of the director. And so when you put all these comps together, you get, and by the way, we have a search engine for that as well, which is very helpful because we have a search engine here, we have 34,000 films in. If you add non-theatrical, we have 80,000 films. So we have basically, we have 100,000 films in the system with films in production that you can search. And the nice thing is nowadays, you don't have to have a photographic memory to find things, but you can just say, I don't know, crime, let's say north of $50 million budgets since 2012. And let's see if there's any films with superheroes, right? Dark Knight, you can put that in, or any with Supernatural, I guess, is that as well, something. So you can really, so basically, but what you can do with this, let's see if I can take this out, okay, darker, so these are not darker superhero films that are crime, have crime as a genre. As you can see, Dark Knight might be one in Watchmen, these are definitely, they're a bit too old, technically, but because we're so limited, and because we have a few, we could add these. And so what you can do now is, with the system, is you can find these comps for it. I don't know if any in this room, anybody's room actually ever had to put comps together. Normally it's a very, I don't know the right word.
Cumbersome,
thank you. It's a very cumbersome approach. With this system, it literally takes you seconds to find comps. And you can use all these nice filters here, you can find Fox films, if you put the director search in there, you can look for foreign films or any opening theaters, or if you want to look for
films have certain box office or any award films. So here you can literally in seconds find comps. As you can see, your superhero crime films above 50 million, there are not many of them, but there are a few. And then if you say, okay, Dark Knight is a comp, let's add that film to Joker. Add to project, and then go back. This way you go back to the project. And then these films are added. And the nice thing is once these films are added, you see down here, you see this kind of table where we give, system provides medium, average, highs, and lows. Well, this comps it automatically. So you kind of see medium budget 50 million, release strategy around 300, 500, 300, 600 theaters normally. Opening weekend 45, these boxes around 140, international 150, global 350. So you can get the first idea of, you know, how Joker could play out.
Do you adjust the older releases forward, like based on, you know, if they're out of date?
Of course, you can take these out. I mean, I just...
But can you, does your system, like, automatically forecast forward, like, based on today's...
cost of money.
Sorry. Yeah, you mean on
inflation?
Yes, we can. There's a switch. So basically, we normally I would take these older films out. Now we shouldn't have them in there. I just want to use them as an event. I mean, Watchmen should take out and Hangover. But yes, we can inflation adjust revenues, because especially when you go into per territory, here you can select any territory. We can do FX adjustments or inflation adjustments.
With all the films that the streaming services are picking up and distributing themselves, I mean, do you ignore them so they don't throw off your data? Do you use some data? What are you going to?
I mean, the ones that are on Netflix, right? I mean,
yeah, like
for example,
Netflix,
yes, we have the films in the system, and as of now, we have data for them, which is called the piracy data. Because the great thing about the piracy data is actually, so we just work with a studio with their consumer division on understanding what demand for a certain show is. And the nice thing is we pulled sort of, let's say a country in Europe, we pulled that data and we can see all the films that people watch, and there's the HBO shows, the Netflix shows, everything's in there, the Hulu shows, as well as the USA and ABC shows. And this is what we, right now it's not integrated yet, but we'll integrate that data, and then you can, it doesn't make sense for a theatrical comping, of course, but yes, you will have in the near future, you can at least see how the audiences it's sort of a proxy for demand, right? How the demand is. It's not paid for, but at least you get an idea of how popular it was relative. It's all about relative. But this is now just, you know, of course, going and comping for theatrical. You can choose any territory here, and then you get the median average of those again. We always work with medians because it cuts out the outliers, and then the per territory box office numbers are automatically here, and then again, the median can forecast that. And yes, we had clients, and this is not revenue or FX or inflation adjusted, but it's just a switch that can populate here, and then it does that. But yeah, technically, it should, some Watchmen should go out. It's too old. This is just for example purposes. Film comps, here we can show how these films are released. You can see the theaters here and box office here. And this is basically, this is now another shot of Eddie's comms. And down here by color, you see the distributor or the studio that released it from. And of course, the further to the right, the bigger the release. So these releases like Dark Knight and Suicide Squad were all around 4,200, Venom, 4,300 screens. So there is that kind of release strategy. Then a lot of films are released around like 3,500, 600. And then there are smaller films on this data set as well. And you can basically see how these films are released, and you can already see that there's, of course, this kind of curve that always happens. Once you're confident enough as a studio to release it on 4,300 screens, that's when it really takes off, of course. But you have to get the confidence to do that. And this is kind of where I get to the next level, the next point. And so basically, based on comms, you can see how these films are released very quickly. You can get median forecast by territories. And you understand and just understand sort of what these comps are and what, how they perform in the past. This is one method. This is sort of course something that executives do these days, or students do, and film companies do. That's, you know, a good way, a decent way, I guess, to look at value. A new way that we bring to this table is predictive forecasting. And that is combining our data sets, which we have for 80,000 films and 550,000 talent, bringing in machine learning technology that now, based on the user's command, recognizes patterns and provides a forecast. We can look at that. So this is now a real-time forecast. Budget, let's say 60 million, crime, drama, fantasy, R-rated. Not a sequel, based on a comic book, as franchise, DC Comics. It's pretty long, but I don't know how long now. You know, we put the talent in. United States, October. Yeah, Warner Bros. Distributing. And let's say Greenlight, we saw that from the chart, from the release chart, that Deadpool and all these kind of films are released around 3,800 screens. And so at Greenlight, that's probably the assumption you might have. You wouldn't think 4,300, you wouldn't have that confidence yet. So 3,800 theaters, and all you do is you fill this out, no comms, you press one button, and the system now picks up this package, where this technology understands what this package is, runs it against all our data, and comes up with a forecast. And this forecast is, of course, because we're talking green light, you know, the film has to be shot and so on. There's so many things and edited and so on. Could turn out, you know, not so great, but could turn out amazing. So this is kind of the base case that when taking into consideration all these factors that we put in here, if everything performs at potential, that's a good scenario to take. So the base case, the median is basically this one, the most probable one. It's the highest number. This happens most, the kind of scenario is the one that happens most often, the median. And then you can basically, as an executive can say, you know, am I confident about this? I read the script, I know the director, I know how they bond with, how the director bonds with the actor. You know, I'm confident at this early stage, I think we could go here. Or you know what, I want to be on the safe side, let's see how we can greenlight it in the 30%, 70% likelihood. And what these confidence levels mean, basically, they mean 90% likelihood that this will happen, or better. So it doesn't mean that there's 90% chance it will be 971 million, there's 90% chance that it's at least. So now you know, if you have this kind of greenlight decision, if you just don't, there's a 10% chance at this point it will be more than 270 million box office, and then all the ancillary revenue streams. These are all gross consumer level revenues. Same for international. Without China, we're building a separate model for China, because China is so different to the rest of the world in terms of the patterns that happened earlier. And now let's say, you know, for example, let's leave everything the same, but let's say now the film released in TIFF, people are extremely confident, or at least that's what you read in the press, I haven't seen it. And I read in Deadline a thing that apparently they're considering 4,300 screens for this film, like a Venom-style release. So you can now, with this new information, you can say, okay, what happened? What would happen if this would be like a Venom-style, or you know, that kind of really large release? Because that, I think, would be tough to make that decision early on, and you can see there's a material increase. There's also a material increase in P&A, we'll get to that later, but right now you can see there's a material increase in box office, you know, with that large release strategy. But the question is, you know, as a studio, are you confident enough? When are you confident enough to make that decision? And Greenlight, that's why we in Greenlight always use like the classic, we lose the comms. When you see the comms, it kind of informs you what the client release strategy is for your film, and that's what you normally use. Then when you have more information, more confidence, you can go out. But based on this, if they really go out on that, there's a chance that it does 250 million in the base case. So as we've seen, because of course the film is controversial, so it's a bit tough to bake that in. But also the controversial is when you would ask, you know, maybe, you know, public opinion could turn against this film. What happens if it turns and you go on 3,000-4,000, but you know, things really don't, you know, there are boycotts or whatever can happen, you can always use these scenarios to bake this kind of eventuality into this forecast. And then what you do here is, basically you can change everything. You can change actors, director, and mold every film, whether it's a small Sundance film or a large studio film, into this model.
And the nice thing is very iterative. You can really in real time, as you just saw, change things around. And then what you do is, basically maybe go back to the 3A, because I don't know, the 3.4.3 might be a bit aggressive. So let's say we take these two scenarios, and then there's a financial model. This is now our simplified model. You can budget 60 million, let's say 100 million P&A globally. Could be, I don't know, could be a bit more. I don't know much about the financial structure. I know that they had co-financiers, so I don't know. But you can technically put all the financial structure together with co-equity financiers, which I know are in this film. So I don't know the details, so I left all that blank. But basically now inputs are the financial structure of this film into this model, and then calculate sort of domestic boxes forecast, deduct of course exhibitor share, and any distribution fees. I could also zero this out. Let's rerun this actually. Still the old one in there. And like this you can basically run, I just have to run this because I ran the and like this, you select the scenarios and then basically can run waterfalls that tell you what the ROI could be depending on the financial structure. I mean, it is a fairly, I don't want to go into all the details of this financial model, but just basically go step by step from consumer-based revenue, taking the cost into account, into net revenues, home, you know, box office, home video and TV, domestic, international, and into an ROI waterfall. And this is all for studio level, of course, simplified, but we can import and change the financial model according to the use case. The nice thing is that everything you see here is multi-user. You can invite different teams with different permission levels to this analysis, and as well, you can export anything you see here, anything we ran, in a nice PDF report. And this is really the benefit of the system, that you can run analysis quicker. In a team fashion, bring together different data sets. We can incorporate students' data sets. If there are, of course, the students have much deeper data. We have our data from Nielsen and Student System very soon. So, yeah.
Just a real quick question. So, I mean, this is great. I just wondered if you're planning or have a way, like, what if you're just a pure physical production guy or gal, and you're saying, for example, I need to decide if I'm going to do this in Germany or somewhere else, and I want to do cost comparison analysis. Yes, with all the stuff you just said, but just a slightly different angle, looking for areas where you can cut costs.
I mean, this, if you want to cut costs as an independent producer, it's all about getting tax credits, right? So I used to produce films. I produced film in Europe as well. Why? Because I got tax credits. I produced a film once between three different territories in Europe, and you get 60% from different governments to do that because they want your spend in the territory. So this is an entirely different matter. We don't have any tool yet that can tell you how you want to, because you were looking for either production incentives or production costs.
Well, and also maybe the risk associated in certain areas. Yes, I might get a tax credit, but there are certain,
they don't pay very well.
There's a quantitative risk or a risk factor for producing in, say, Czechoslovakia. I have no idea, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, of course.
Political reasons or whatever, you can assign a value to that.
So yeah, no, this is something that we can build. We haven't built it yet. We heard about that already a couple of times from our users. So we will eventually, we thought about partnering with an expert. There are a couple of companies that focus on these kind of things in this space. They do it manually. Sure, I think some are presenting here as well.
Yeah.
They focus on tech credits and that kind of angle, and there's definitely a way to systematize it, but for us it's about sort of when
it's
is the right time.
When
is the market there that we can, is the market big enough, and how, because as a company like us, it's all about what can technology really do, right? And because AI is such a big word, and in film industry, everybody scares a lot of people. And it shouldn't, because in the end, AI is very limited. All it can do at this point is number crunching. It's not creative. It cannot make decisions. If an AI would decide on a film, it would be a disaster. Pretty soon. So this is, we use it because we are Christian. He's our COO. Worked for the studios for 15 years.
also in greenlining for 10 years. So, and I'm a producer, my partner is a long-term producer. So we understand the benefits and the limitations of that technology. And so we built the system in a way that it adds to a natural process that anyway happens, it enhances the process hopefully, makes it quicker and faster and maybe more efficient and more informed. But in the end, there are certain limits and there are certain benefits of technology. With this system right now, we think we've gotten the mix right. If technology evolves further, there might be something, step more that we take, but at this point, that's kind of where we are. But these kind of use cases like tax credits, that's definitely something interesting. If somebody pays us for it, we'll definitely do it. But on our own money, we're still a lean and mean startup. We have to always look at what our customers want, basically.
Just building on that, you know, from a theatrical release, you know, marketing costs are definitely a big spend. You have the data points from the social media feeds. Are you using that information to define how much marketing cost you need to spend?
No, we don't do audience targeting. There are companies, of course, that do a lot of audience targeting. We don't do that yet. We have some ideas going forward. And we're talking about certain tools that we can build that are a bit different than what's out there. We always monitor all this, of course, social media, NLP technologies that can monitor all that. We have it on our mind, but we're not there. We really wanted to focus on the green lighting because we saw there are technologies at the marketing stage, and there's actually money spent there. And I'm very surprised, I was very surprised, how little money spent in the green lighting process on better analysis. Because that's really, in the end, that's where you're hooked. These are the first $150 million you spend, and then you're in hook for a big marketing spend. Then you can decide, do you want to risk mitigate, and or do you want to go out? And the Joker, that's a tough project. I mean, when we pulled it, when we ran it first, we didn't know how good the film is. You know, it's, and our numbers are quite high. People thought this film is a drama, dark, might not resonate at all. Our numbers were pretty, with 140 million, we showed it to someone that's involved with this project, and they were like, man, they were happy about it. But it was a risk, you know, and now, of course, it looks like our numbers are too low. Now it looks like, but nevertheless, in green lighting, it's very important to just understand, you know, we want to make the best decision with the information available, right? That's kind of where we are. Once more information comes in, you can always improve along the way. But yeah, we'll get there eventually. Sorry for the long answer. Any more questions on it? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.